This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Your brother Yusuf Chambers here. And I'm in New Zealand. And, subhanAllah, we've been traveling around the country for the last 11 days, and we're on a special mission to create togetherness. And we've come across this incredible household that has some really amazing stories to tell. So I'm going to hand you over a little bit, and he's going to explain himself. But this is Brother Mohammed Zaid Ian Blissett. So he's obviously, you might have guessed, he's like me, got a sub, a revert to the Deen of Islam, mashallah. So first of all, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, brother?
I'm very good.
Yes.
I'm very happy that you guys came to visit.
Well, you've got an amazing story. Behind us, of course, is all your array of different books. And some of them are Islamic books and some of them are history. We've got things like Forgotten Heroes over there. You've got Forgotten Heroes, you've got the Maori books, and so on and so forth. And over on the other corner, you've got a whole load of medals and honours that you've received in the American Army. There we are. So, Mr. Mohammed Blissett, if I might tell you, refer to you as. When did you accept Islam?
Well, it wasn't a overnight thing.
Yeah.
My problem has always been all my life. I ask questions and I read too much. Mm. When you read too much, you think too much.
Mm.
And I struggled for many, many years with the idea of the divinity of Jesus.
Mm.
It bothered me.
Mm.
And I used to sit in church with the family and I used to think, well, I must be the crazy one because these people around me believe this.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a book from the library here.
Yeah.
And it was the life of the Prophet Muhammad.
Really?
And it was written by a Frenchman who was not a Muslim.
Right.
But he was a professor at an Algerian university.
Ah,
and
yes.
He wrote this factual book about the Prophet's life. Now, unless you were a Christian, and I know anything about Christianity, but when you're brought up with this divine Jesus,
yes.
Son of
yes.
God, etc., etc.,
yes.
And then I read this book about this man, and that's all he was, a man.
Mm.
He wasn't even literate.
Mm. Mm.
And yet he lived this extraordinary life.
Mm.
He received the messages, received the Quran.
Yes.
This just blew my mind away. And you wouldn't understand that unless you knew my background.
So, Ian, or Muhammad.
Muhammad
Zaid.
Right.
So, did you, after reading this book from the local library...
I started reading every book I could
you,
find.
You fell in love with the man?
Yes, because it was such an extraordinary story.
Mm. I wonder what that book was. We need to get a copy of that.
Well, it might still be in the library here. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going back 30-something years.
30 years ago,
oh, more than
you read a book.
Yeah.
So then, but then obviously you must have met Muslims and then decided
no.
to...
No.
You didn't?
No.
Well,
so
you became Muslim on your own?
No, I did. I did have some... it was the imam from Christchurch.
Mm.
I mean, I had an adopted son. And he was born with a hare lip and a cleft palate.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to have to go to Burwood Hospital down in Christchurch for plastic surgery, etc. So while he was in hospital, I went to the synagogue, because I was inquiring about Judaism as well. Yeah. And I also went to El Nur Mosque.
Yes.
So El Nur Mosque is my spiritual home.
Subhanallah. So we're on a journey to... I'll just have to take that off you at the moment, Mohammed. Yeah. Sorry about that. We're on a journey to try and remember the people who died on the 15th of March last year in El Nur Mosque. And we've met you, and you've basically gone to El Nur Mosque, and that is your home where you kind of accepted and found Islam. This is an amazing story, this is. But I'm confused. So you kept reading about this, and you were searching, and you went to the synagogue. Did you go to any other religious groups? Or?
Oh, well, I was Catholic at that stage.
Right.
I'd been other things as well, but always Christian. Mm. But when you read about religion in the Middle East, around the time of Jesus, you find out that there was other virgin births. There was, I think he was called Ahura Mazda. Mm. Sounds like a Japanese car. But he used to die in the autumn of every year, and then he would be born again in spring of a virgin mother.
Yes.
That was the same time as Jesus.
Right.
And then you start thinking, which came first? And, of course, St. Paul, he was the one that created Jesus from being a prophet into being divine.
Yes.
Because St. Paul was a Roman citizen.
Yes.
And he knew if this new Christianity was to spread in Rome, he had to make Jesus into a divine being.
Divine. Yeah.
Because the Romans used to worship the, dead emperor, Caesars. It's a big subject, and I can't cover it all.
No.
But all I can say, very simply, I tell everybody, for 50 years, I lived in a room with no windows, no doors, and no light.
Allah.
And then when I found Islam, I found the light switch.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
You know, can I just tell you something?
Sure.
Yesterday I was telling the audience, and I was telling actually the team, the local team here with the Voice of Islam team, that the description of me finding Islam was I was stuck in a dark room. This is literally what I said. Stuck in a dark room, gagged, blindfolded, with my hands tied behind my back. And when suddenly somebody kicked the door down and dragged me out and released me. So it's exactly the same way that you've described that. And, and this spiritual journey doesn't need any intervention of any human being. It's between you and your soul and God.
Well, yeah, I came to the conclusion, in your heart when something's right. It broke up my first marriage. Oh, sorry, that's mine.
It's all right, it's okay. It's only reminding us about Allah anyway,
that's
good.
It affected my first marriage, and but I could have ignored it and kept going as I was, but I just knew in my heart that was the right thing to do. And if I didn't follow Islam, I'd be living a lie, because I knew what the truth was.
Well, Mohammed, what was it like suddenly having to change? I mean, you had a lot of friends here. I'm sure you were very, very busy, busy man working and families and neighbors, then suddenly you pitch up at the door saying, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah," and there's a massive change. And I guess you must have been one of the very few, if the first Muslims around at all, apart from a few?
I was. But the first Muslim I met here was Suleiman, who was a slaughterman at the freezing works. He was Somalian. He was the first one I ever met. Mm. And before I had all the books, all of them, if I had any problems or questions, I used to go and talk to Suleiman.
SubhanAllah.
So he became a very good friend. But I'll just tell you why I chose the name Zaid.
Go for it.
I read this story where this young boy named Zaid, I can't remember the rest of his name, he was a Christian boy. And he was captured by a bunch of people, Arabs, who were not Muslim, and they were on the way to see the Prophet. And they took this boy with them as a gift, as a slave.
Yes.
So after he'd been with the Prophet for about 6 months, the Prophet said to Zaid, your father and your uncle have found out where you are and they've come to take you home, you know, pack your bags and go on. So I said, no, I want to stay with you.
Yes.
So I was a Christian boy and I found Islam through the Prophet. So I wanted to stay.
Subhanallah.
So effectively, you found Islam through reading books from, in actual fact, the first book you read wasn't even by a Muslim.
No.
It was a non-Muslim about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you hardly had any engagement with Muslims at all. And then you just knew in your heart that this message was right, and you started to presumably practice. And then,
I was praying the wrong way. I was facing that way instead of that way.
Oh, okay, 180 degrees out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You read that in a book, presumably, and you maybe misunderstood
it. I just was... my first wife found me doing this, and that didn't go down well at all, because she'd wanted to be a nun in a younger day, so she was a very good Catholic. She still lives in town, too. But anyway...
That's another story.
Later on, about two years later, a Muslim, well, he was a supervisor for the freezing works. He used to come and see me. And he said, would you ever get married again? I said, oh, God, no. I don't want to go through all that again. And then I said, oh, well, if I met the right one, I'd think about it. Well, I met Nisha through a friend.
Yeah.
So Nisha was taking a risk and I was taking a risk.
Yeah.
But it turned out it was meant to be.
It's just,
that's an awesome story, and it's a very, it's an emotional one, but it's also tells us a lot about the fitrah of the deen of Islam. If the fitrah is clean, nothing can come between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's as simple as that. Your fitrah, your natural disposition is always reminding you about God. And we Muslims just need to get together with our non-Muslim brothers and sisters and neighbors and just be Muslims in their face. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I've had nothing but respect from people... even at work, and because I've been in New Zealand since 2072, so people, you know me very well, and I've always had the greatest respect, because people who know me know I wouldn't do anything without reading up completely, so they knew I wasn't a instant, I wasn't influenced by anybody.
Yeah. And you've got in your hands
this is
Muhammad Asad.
Have you ever heard of him?
I have heard of him, yes.
This guy was extraordinary. He was Jewish.
Yeah.
And he was born in Vienna. And he became a journalist, and he travelled through Afghanistan, and he ended up converting to Islam.
SubhanAllah.
And his parents disowned him.
Mm.
He ended up in Saudi Arabia, this is after the First World War, and he became king, the first King Saud's foreign advisor.
Yeah.
And he ended up in Pakistan,
mm.
and he was the one that put into the Pakistani constitution that a woman could be president.
Right.
He did that. He died in at age 90 in 1990, and he's buried in a Muslim graveyard in Spain. But it's extraordinary, and it's the only translation for an English-speaking person.
Mm.
There's that bit of Arabic, and then the translation, and then there's that much explanation.
Explanation.
Mm. He was fluent in the Arabic of the time of the Prophet.
SubhanAllah.
So the meaning of words, like Shakespearean words, change over the centuries, but he understood the original meaning.
That's very, very powerful. Because we talked now, Uncle, about the literary miracle of the Quran, because the Quran is a miracle in itself. In the sense that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he could not read or write, and he received this book direct from the Creator, and the Arabic that he bought from Allah was totally different from the Arabic that the Bedouin Arabs were speaking at the time, and it really confused them, and they thought that he was doing magic on them. He actually thought that he was either mad or that he was doing magic, and they were very frightened of him, actually. So it's amazing you should say that, and we should all get a copy of this Muhammad Asad translation of the Quran. And I ask Allah to bless Uncle. How many years have you been Muslim now?
Oh, crumbs. How long have I been married? 2 years longer than I've been married.
Okay.
32 years or so.
Wow. MashaAllah. MashaAllah.
Well, and never had any regrets.
No, I don't think you would have had any regrets. I mean, let's just end it, Uncle, that we, you know, because we make this a short, because we've all got to go off and go back to the cars, and we've got two more events tomorrow on the tour, the Voice of Islam tour, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, Uncle, with many, many lives, etc., and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you to, have Jannatul Firdaws al-A'la, the top part of paradise. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow your family to have that with you. Ameen. And many of your friends, we've seen Alan, we've seen Margaret, we've seen people that are no doubt greatly influenced by you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them also to the correct deen of the Islam. Ameen. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'll just tell you this real one story. You don't have to record this, but just very quickly.
He's going
to... in 1994, it was my mother's 90th birthday back in England.
Yeah.
So my brother said, Nisha and I went for my mother's birthday. And my brother said, my oldest brother said, well, I know nothing about Islam.
Mm.
Can you bring me a book that explains it? And I will read it. So I took him this book that I had and gave it to him. Anyway, we came back here to New Zealand. In the meantime, my brother's son got a job. He was a diver by trade, and he got a job with the Malaysian government laying optic fiber cable around the coast or something. So my brother said, you're going to a Muslim country, you better read this book that your uncle wrote and so you know where you're going. He read it. He ended up converting. He's still living in Kuching in Malaysia.
Mashallah.
He speaks about 10 languages. He's fluent in Arabic. Mashallah. He's married there and he's got his son's name Amir. And
so there, you've already given a lot of dawah to Alhamdulillah. He's part of the dawah.
Can I ask one, a short one? Brother Yusuf, a message for the Muslims, one like advice from your side, one beautiful message, and one beautiful message to the non-Muslims, like for the New Zealanders or Kiwis in general, like what would you like to, you know, part of this education program we're going down to South, which is Christchurch. I just wanted to use it for future programs, if you travel anywhere in the world, to motivate them from your story.
One
beautiful message, like being a Muslim, and also one message to the Muslims and one message to the non-Muslims. So,
well, to the Muslims, I would say, know your religion, know your faith, cut through the rubbish, and know the real religion. And don't be ashamed or afraid or hide your religion because you think the people around you